From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Hemp literally shares roots with the same plant that produces marijuana. They're both cannabis. But as marijuana laws loosen in most states, the laws surrounding hemp production, including in Maryland, remain rigid. Environmental reporter Rona Cabell explains industrial uses for hemp and how it could provide farmers with a potentially profitable choice in their crop rotation.
It's unlikely to replace corn or wheat or barley or any of the things that we're used to seeing here, but it can augment your income, especially if the price continues to stay high and we continue to use it for as many things as we are.
On the record, after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Hemp literally shares roots with the same plant that produces marijuana. They're both types of cannabis plants. But it's impossible to get high smoking hemp. So if states, including Maryland, are liberalizing marijuana laws, why is it still illegal to grow hemp in most states, including Maryland? That's the question posed in a report just issued by the Able Foundation titled, "The Case for Hemp in Maryland: A Misunderstood Plant Takes Root Again." The report's principal author is Rona Cabell, science writer and editor for Maryland Sea Grant's communications team, formerly a reporter for the Chesapeake Bay Journal and the Baltimore Sun. Welcome to the show, Rona.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. In your report, you explain that hemp was once a legal crop in the U.S. What is the history of hemp in the U.S.?
Hemp was a legal crop for centuries. It was used for food, fuel, fiber, medicine, and it began to be phased out because it was very, it required a lot of human labor, and tobacco farms sort of took over the hemp fields. But there were still plenty of hemp to be grown in the United States until 1937, when the Marijuana Tax Act made both hemp and marijuana illegal. And there are a lot of factors as to why they became illegal, but overwhelmingly, it was a racial panic, largely in the case of marijuana.
Racial panic?
Right. Those were the days of reefer madness, and that if African-American men smoked marijuana, they could harm white women. And there were a lot of films and a lot of propaganda and, frankly, just blatant racism around the time that made people afraid of marijuana. Hemp sort of became yoked to marijuana because it's also cannabis. But hemp had its own detractors in companies like DuPont, who wanted to make synthetic fibers that would compete with hemp, the tobacco companies that wanted to have the land. And so there were multiple factors that brought both of them under this tax act, which didn't make hemp illegal to grow. It just made it highly difficult and unprofitable to grow. And then in the 40s, the U.S. government made farmers grow hemp for the war effort, because they needed hemp for uniforms and sails and other things. And then
this is the fiber in hemp.
This is the fiber, right. And then when the war was over, hemp went away again because other materials became cheaper. There was a pharmaceutical industry that was growing. There was a fiber industry. Paper became more commonly made the way it is now from trees and forests. And hemp sort of gradually receded until the early 1970s, when Richard Nixon made both hemp and marijuana Schedule I drugs illegal to consume, sell, use in any form.
Schedule I under the Controlled Dangerous Substances Act.
Right. So more dangerous than opioids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where they remain under the federal law.
What is the difference between hemp and marijuana?
So marijuana's active ingredient is THC, which is a psychoactive element, and hemp's is CBD, which is cannabinoid oil, which is not psychoactive. So marijuana has large amounts of THC, 10%, 15% more. Hemp has a very small amount of THC. So as you had said earlier, you can't smoke hemp to get high. You'd probably just get a really bad stomach ache if you tried. it's never had those properties.
Let me press you a little bit on that, because your report says that the most lucrative part of the hemp plant, depending on how it is used, is the medicinal cannabinoid oil, quote, used to treat everything from arthritis to epilepsy and to wean patients off addictive opioids, end quote, which sounded to me, a non-specialist, as sort of like the arguments we heard for medicinal marijuana.
Well, marijuana, as I understand it, is more of an anti-nausea kind of drug. It sort of relieves pain, eases pain, helps with emotional issues. The properties of the cannabinoid oil are more of like a healing property in the physical and technical sense. So more like a balm or a salve. People rub CBD oil on them to relieve pain. I've never heard of anyone using marijuana for that sort of thing. It has a molecular combination that relieves seizures. I've not heard that marijuana is used for that. So marijuana is largely a pain reliever, but more of like an anti-nausea, more of a comforting kind of drug, whereas the CBD oil, which comes from the flower of the hemp plant, is more of a medicinal. It can actually like heal pain that you have, like a physical pain.
I think there are people who use marijuana for seizures, but let's move on. Industrial hemp, you went through a bunch of uses, but tell us a little more about the business uses of hemp.
So I'm wearing a dress made out of hemp, and you can use it for clothing. You can use it for food. You can have hemp seeds. You can have hemp oil that you use for cooking. They've used hemp for car parts. The BMWs that are made in Europe include hemp in the dashboards. You can make houses with hemp. You can use it.
You can make houses with hemp.
Right, and it's a the way that we build things now. We use a lot of these flame retardants. We put them in couches and our clothing and all kinds of substances to deter fire. But the fire retardants are full of toxic substances. So if you make a couch out of hemp, say, you don't need to use a flame retardant. It already is naturally flame retardant as a fabric. Same with insulation for hemp. So there are some cities like Asheville where there are houses that have been made out of hemp. They say that it has 10,000 uses. So there's a lot of different things you can do with it. The other thing that is extremely important is when you harvest the plant for fiber, you use part of the plant for fiber, but the rest of the plant is called the woody herd, and you can use that for absorbance.
H-U-R-D.
H-U-R-D. Herd. So you can use that for absorbance in spills and sewage treatment plants, and you can also use it as bedding for horses and cattle. So a lot of farmers...
Like instead of straw?
Instead of straw, yes. And a lot of the straw, Sheila, that's used for bedding for horses is actually treated with a pesticide or other chemicals, whereas with hemp, you don't need to treat it. In fact, hemp as a plant and marijuana are both not permitted to take any pesticides. And so we're having this big problem in this country with bees and not enough butterflies anymore because of GMOs. And so if you plant hemp, you don't plant any pesticides. The EPA doesn't let you. So you're basically planting a natural plant that also replenishes the soil.
That's science and environmental writer Rona Kobel here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the report she wrote for the Able Foundation, making a case for growing industrial hemp in Maryland. Two of Maryland's neighbors, Pennsylvania and Virginia, they're already allowing industrial hemp. How is that working?
It's working very well. In fact, Pennsylvania is the state where I'm from, and they're notoriously unable to pass many laws, including a budget most years, and they passed the hemp law within 1 year. It was unanimous, bipartisan support. Virginia, it took a little longer, maybe 2 or 3 years, but they've got a hemp law. Pennsylvania just announced that it's going to make major increase in the acreage that it's going to do. I think it has 50 acres now, and it wants to go up to 5,000 acres. So that's a 100-fold increase in the acreage. Virginia started with maybe 2 M farmers, and they're up to 15 now. So the states are different, and they have kind of different priorities. Virginia has a really large horse industry, so betting for horses is really important in Virginia. Pennsylvania is really trying hard to catch up on their water quality goals for the Chesapeake Bay Agreement. They're very far behind, so they're looking at hemp as possible amendment to soil and to help control water quality.
How would that work?
So if you planted hemp on the banks of a river as opposed to what you might plant now, a grass plant. Hemp is a very good absorbent of nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus. So instead of those nutrients going into the river, they would go into the hemp plant, which would grow and grow up and be wild. And hemp did that for hundreds of years. It was in other states, it's called ditchweed because it just grew copiously. And you see it even still in Iowa and some places in Illinois. It doesn't grow legally, but it's there.
Kentucky seems to have really gone all in for industrial hemp, from what you write.
Yes, and it's very encouraging to see because Kentucky is the 5th poorest state in the nation, and it's struggling. It has a lot of coal, and it has a lot of tobacco farms, and there wasn't a whole lot of hope, I don't think, that something else was going to come in and turn things around until hemp.
When the demand for tobacco dropped.
Right. And we had the same thing here in Maryland. We had the demand for tobacco drop and the tobacco buyout. But compared to Kentucky, tobacco was a pretty small part of our economy, whereas in Kentucky, it was huge. And so a lot of these Kentucky farmers told me that they never really felt good about growing tobacco, but that's just what they had. And so they grew it, and they love that they grow something that is helping people, that can heal people, that's nutritious. And so they're very happy to be sort of bringing back this industry that was, they were the leading state producing hemp back in the early 1900s. So it, for them, it's sort of coming back to what they had.
So tobacco states are finding that hemp might be a crop to replace tobacco?
Yes. Now, right now, Sheila, the hemp industry, even in Kentucky, is quite small compared to what tobacco was and compared to corn and soybeans and wheat. I mean, these commodity crops have overtaken our agriculture system, and hemp is a fraction of what they are. But what hemp does for farmers is it gives them a choice. It gives them something else to grow. Say you have, 50 acres that you used to grow radishes. Well, now maybe you can try hemp. So it just gives you an option to try something different. It's unlikely to replace corn or soybeans or wheat or barley or any of the things that we're used to seeing here. But it can augment your income, especially if the price continues to stay high and we continue to use it for as many things as we are.
What does it do for the soil? You mentioned nitrogen a few minutes ago.
It's a what they call like a fixer, sort of like alfalfa. They have these plants that you plant them, and instead of requiring lots of nitrogen, they take up nitrogen. And so when they do that, they create a whole world down there in the soil of bugs and good bacteria and all sorts of things that help the soil replenish. And we're really having a problem nationwide with soils that are needing to be replenished because they've been planted in the same kinds of agriculture for decades, and we don't rotate things around the way we used to. We used to do strawberries, peas, beans, carrots, and now we're basically corn, wheat, and soybeans, whole fields, hundreds of acres. And so this way, they call it an amendment or replenishment. It sort of helps the soil recover and gives it a bit of a break, sort of the way land used to be fallow or cover crops. It's a similar concept.
Here in Maryland, Delegate David Fraser Hidalgo of Montgomery County has been trying for 4 years to get the Maryland legislature to legalize growing, processing, shipping, and selling industrial hemp. What have been the main roadblocks?
The beginning, there was just a roadblock of explaining what hemp is. Then there became a roadblock of getting people on board who who wanted to sort of register the program. The United States Farm Bill under Obama in 2014 opened a window that you could grow industrial hemp under the auspices of a university in your state if your state authorized such a program. So you need the university in the state to basically want to oversee that. And in Kentucky, for example, there are several universities, among them University of Kentucky, that have really taken this on. And the professors are a big part of it. And they're helping the farmers grow. And the Kentucky Department of Agriculture has a system where they've registered farmers. And they collect money from the farmers. And they test the crop. So you need this infrastructure to make it work. And there has been a hesitancy to put that in place because it costs money and it's work and it's time. And I definitely understand those concerns, but 19 states have managed to do it, and they're adding to their economy. So if we look at Kentucky, which is a state with, I would think, far less resources than we have here in Maryland, and we see that they've done it, it makes you think, well, okay, it can't be all that complicated. They've managed to do it there. I will add, a very conservative, Republican, libertarian-minded, but Republican state.
Yeah, one of the interesting aspects of your report is the idea that the U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky is advocating for looser federal controls for hemp.
Yes, this is an interesting conversion of Mitch McConnell, because in the 90s he wasn't really pro-hemp. But what happened was a young man named James Comer became the Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner, and then he won a congressional seat, and he won it by an extremely large margin. And Mitch McConnell took notice of this victory and said, "What caused your win?" And Mr. Comer said, "It was hemp," because he had pushed for hemp as a Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner, and he ran for Congress on a platform of, "I'm going to try to legalize it." So he educated Mitch McConnell. Rand Paul, I think, was already sort of in the pro-hemp camp. But once Mitch McConnell saw that it could create these jobs and this revenue, and that it really did not have a relationship to marijuana at all, he was on board. And he has been extremely helpful in getting these hemp farmers out of these hairy situations where the DEA wants to take their crop. And it's all kinds of things at a very high level. And he and Rand Paul have been very helpful in helping these guys out.
Is there a political aspect to the debate in the Maryland legislature?
It will be interesting to see. Most of the people who had been against it in the past were sort of old drug warrior types who were worried about the association between marijuana and hemp. I think we've really overcome that. I think most people understand, A, that hemp is not marijuana, and B, marijuana is already legal, at least medical. So I think we're coming along. I think I just sense I've been sort of tangentially covering the Maryland legislature for, 13, 14 years. And it just seems to me that it takes a long time to get things passed in general, even if they're terrific pieces of legislation. So I don't know. It's hard to see what the downside of this is, honestly.
Delegate Fraser Hidalgo has introduced an industrial hemp bill again this year, so we'll have a chance to see. I appreciate your walking us through it. Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Rona. Science writer Rona Kobel. The report that she and Alexei Furman of Ukraine wrote for the Abel Foundation is The Case for Hemp in Maryland, A Misunderstood Plant Takes Root Again. We'll have a link to the report at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. We reached out to the Maryland Department of Agriculture, which declined an interview. Its spokesman told us the department has not yet taken a position on the industrial hemp bill introduced by Delegate Fraser Hidalgo this session. Last year, the Ag Department contended a state lab would be needed to do the required testing, which would have cost millions of dollars. Quick break now on the record. When we're back, we'll talk with a farmer in Anne Arundel County who is hopeful that hemp will be a crop option for her in the future. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about hemp, a cousin of the marijuana plant that is not psychoactive. Hemp has been used for centuries for fiber, seeds, and other uses. But as environmental writer Rona Cobell told us earlier, it is not legal to grow hemp industrially in many states, including Maryland. Joining us by phone is Anna Cheney. She runs Honey's Harvest, her farm in Anne Arundel County, with the hopes of someday including hemp in her crop rotation. She's also the proprietor of the event venue Harrington on the Bay. Welcome to On the Record, Anna.
Thank you.
Anna, how did hemp come to be on your radar screen as a potential crop?
Well, as a potential crop, it came on my radar screen about 4 years ago when I became acquaintances with a gentleman who was in need of CBD oil for his health.
CBD oil is a medical extract of hemp.
It is. It's an extract directly from the hemp seed. And he kind of pointed out a lot of the beneficial attributes of the plant, and I became very interested in it at that time. So that's where it first came across my radar.
Rona Cobell told us some of what growing hemp can do for the soil. As a farmer, how do you see the benefits of growing hemp for the soil?
Well, depending on what a farmer wants to do with their farm and what they need on their farm, hemp can play a role in just another, you know, diversity into their crop rotations. However, it's a fantastic crop in and of itself because as it becomes legal throughout the country and eventually countrywide, I do believe that the industry will develop to a point where there will be a tremendous demand for the crop itself. So insofar as the soil itself, it does aerate the soil. Some of the strains have a deep taproot, which provides for, you know, aeration of the soil, which then allows the soil to absorb more water. So you have much less runoff. Also, in a crop rotation, it can be used as green mulch. So it can be grown and then left to basically compost on the field, which, just like any other green compost, it will, you know, bring more nutrients into the soil. It also is being looked at as a potential riparian buffer, which would also absorb. It does need nitrogen to grow, like all plants need nitrogen to grow. So it will absorb nitrogen that would potentially be running into our watershed for its own growth and provide that riparian buffer as well.
When you say riparian buffer, that means a buffer along stream beds?
Yes, along stream beds, watersheds, of pretty much any sort here in the Chesapeake Bay region.
And is Maryland's climate conducive to growing hemp?
Absolutely. Hemp does have a history here in Maryland, so it was grown here in Maryland previous to the 1930s, and hemp has been shown to grow very well in tobacco soils and tobacco climates. So as you're, I'm sure, well aware, we had much tobacco growing here in the state, here in Maryland, prior to the 1980s.
You referred to all the things that can be done with hemp. If and when you do grow it, what are your plans for what the crop would be used for?
Well, I think that with more and more research, you know, being done by farmers in our area, we will determine what does work best here. And for our farm, because we are a farm based upon permaculture and regenerative agriculture, one of our goals is to clean the water on our farm. We have many streams, and we also have soils that were in conventional farming for many years. So we're looking for a rotation to help with the riparian buffer along our stream beds. And we would also consider it in the future potentially for food, the hemp seeds and or CBD oil, if that becomes viable here.
Are there other crops that you could choose that would benefit as much as you see hemp benefiting?
I am not aware of another plant that has as many uses and as much diversity and opportunity as hemp. I think it's just an amazing plant, and I think that the opportunities will only continue to grow here in Maryland and, again, across the country. So I'm not aware of any other plant that would offer that benefit, those benefits.
Anna, I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anna Cheney, proprietor and hopeful hemp farmer in Anne Arundel County. We're talking about regulations surrounding industrial hemp production in Maryland. We spoke earlier with environmental writer Rona Cobell. She co-authored a report for the Able Foundation called The Case for Hemp in Maryland, A Misunderstood Plant Takes Root Again. We have a link to the report at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.